I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on watch. Watch for the falling away. Watch for the falling away. And I'm going to read you a few passages of Scripture here, beginning with 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Paul writing to Timothy, the young preacher. He was like his son. Timothy was like a son to Paul. And Paul had gone his way doing what God wanted him to do, and Timothy had gone his way doing what God had wanted him to do. So they were separated, and there's a couple of letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, that Paul wrote to Timothy to try to fill him in on some things that he felt like he needed to know. And they've become part of the Word of God, and so I feel like that not only did Paul wants Timothy to know, but God saw fit to make those letters a part of his word. So God didn't just want Timothy to know. God wants us all to know. Amen. Now the Spirit, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. So Paul was saying that the Spirit is speaking to him, and he is very earnest about what he's speaking. So while all the words are important, I think every word in this Bible is important. Amen. But there's some words that are feel like that seems like they're more important to than others, and especially those that the Holy Spirit quickens to us as we read the Word of God and as we hear the Word of God being spoken. Oftentimes the Spirit of God will quicken that word to us so that He says that, in essence, He says, that's your word. That's the word is for you, right? This is for all of us because it has to do with the end of time. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, everybody say latter times. That's we've been in the latter. Some people say, you know, I used to hear my dad say people would be preaching on the second coming, and that's been, you know, 60, 70 years ago. And he would say, well, Lewis, he said, people have been preaching on the second coming for years now. And I said, well, they still need to be preaching on the second coming because we're that's where we are. We're in the latter days. We're in the latter times. But he's wanting us to know that we are in the latter times and in the last days. Some shall fall. Some, this is one of the signs, some shall depart from the faith. The reason they're going to depart from their faith is that they're going to be not unknowing. They're giving heed to seducing spirits. If they weren't seducing spirits and if they weren't coming secretly, well then they wouldn't. Then they would have knowledge of it. But because they're departing from the faith, they've been giving heed to seducing spirits, and they're also giving heed to doctrines of devils. And especially in the religious world today, I don't have time to go into all of that, but they're speaking lies and hypocrisy, and a lot of them have that have had the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Christ and to know what's going on have had their consciences seared with like a hot iron. In other words, it's seared over so that they have no feelings. They have no spiritual sensibility about them. They just can't understand what's going on, and it's their consciences are so seared that they don't even really care about what's going on. And we're having a lot of that in this country right now, not in just the United States, but all over the world that's going on. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." They'll be covetous. They're so busy trying to get everything, coveting. They'll be boasters, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I was really one of those that was disobedient to my parents. Boy, my dad was never so happy when he signed for me to go in the military. I think all young people have that problem sometimes, being disobedient. But he's talking about of really a global, like a pandemic of children that just don't want to, they just are totally disobedient to the parents and they don't want to be obedient. Without, they're going to be three without natural affection. And they won't love their children, care for their children, and other things that we could talk about there. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, they're just incontent, and so on. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, they'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, there's a form of righteousness, and they have a form of godliness. They sometimes go to church or say they believe in God and have some kind of form of religion, but they're denying the power thereof. They don't seem to have any power to live a godly life and don't really care to live a godly life. They're just so caught up in religious rules and do's and don'ts and regulations that they don't even understand that the Spirit of God has come to set them free. Amen? They don't really have any power to turn. And the Bible tells us to, as believers, as Christians, he's telling Timothy here, from such turn away. You know, do the best you can, but just don't do, you can't do too much with them, so just if they don't listen, just turn away. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read there. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke. We don't like it sometimes when preachers are preaching the word or teaching and they're reproving us or rebuking us. We don't mind being exhorted. Amen. Exhorted with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we all need to be exhorted. We need to be, that means to be encouraged. Amen? We all need that. And the point of this is not, of this teaching, is not to fill us with fear and get all concerned about the last days, but it's to exhort us, if, especially those of us that are Christians, I think just about all of us here are Christians, that we need to be exhorted to, you know, not be caught up in the things of the world and get be ready, because we need to be prepared, because the Lord tells us to be prepared, and so we need to be exhorted to be encouraged to get ready, because when we see all of these things coming to pass, we know that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very near. So exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't like to hear the sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So, the Word of God tells us in Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 here in just a minute, a couple of verses. I'm not going to read all the verses in 3, but that there's a time for everything. There's a time, time meaning there's always a beginning and an ending in time. There's a time when time started, and there's a time when it's when time, as far as we know it on this earth and in our lives, is going to be an end, a starting time and an end time to everything. It seems like that in our daily living we are. We or someone is always asking, and you'll kind of smile about this, I guess, what time is it? You ever hear it on your job or wherever, what time is it? It's It's strange we always want to know what time it is because generally we're so busy we're trying to get, we need to get something done and we don't have a watch or we're somewhere where we can't tell the time. We want to know what time it is because we have something to do, something depending, and maybe we have an appointment we need to get to. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Verse 2 says there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, and a time to break down and a time to build up. So, and it goes on about talking about time. Some of my favorite times, I think Paula was talking, we were talking this morning, she said her favorite time of the year was the winter. And I told her my favorite time of the year was spring and fall. And that seems to be my favorite seasons of the year. If we take fall for an example, the weather turns cool, the sunsets seem to be to match the leaves on the trees as they turn a golden color, and our bodies begin to sense that there's a change that is coming, right? And I think that's the same thing with us as believers, as Christians, as we come closer to the what we're going to call the end of time, which is the end of time is for us, is one of two things. Either Jesus comes and takes us out of this world, which he's supposed to do, or all of a sudden we just die. You know, we never know when we're going to die. God knows. There was a time for me to be born. There's a time, and it's in God's timing. He knows. There's a time to die. I only know of one person. I've told this to several people over the years that had any extension of time to his life, and that was a king, and I can't remember his name, but in 1st or 2nd Kings, he was told by the prophet, you're going to die, your time is up, and he got on his bed and turned his face against the wall, and he started crying and praying. He said, God, give me some more time. I need some more time. Let me have a few more years, and God sent the prophet back, and this is the only time that I know that God ever extended anyone's life. And he told him, I'll give you 15 more years. And from my understanding, what he did in those last 15 years, it would have been better. He probably didn't have an extension, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. So these signs that God has given us, when our body sense changing, and when things that we can see and the things that he's talking about here begin to come to pass, he's given us these signs. So that we can understand that this is a sure sign that something's about to happen. When we get to the fall season, for example, we know it's a sure time that, well, it won't be long before this is football season. We're going to have some football games to watch, right, guys? We know that, you know, hey, it's going to be Thanksgiving here before long, or it's going to be Christmas. We know they're just around the corner. We know that winter is on the way because we know about fall, right? And so the Bible tells us that God has provided these seasons, and God has provided the stars, and God's provided the heavens and the earth and many other natural things as signs to us so that we would be able to understand. These signs have been given to us by a loving creator. So they were there, and they've been given by the creation of a mighty God, and they can be used by him and through him and with him to show us a lot of things and teach us a lot of things. Matthew chapter 16, for example, in verse 1, the Pharisees came with the Sadducees. That was some of the most religious people on the face of the earth in Jesus' time. And they came tempting him, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven. We want a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you look at the evening sun and you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In verse 3, Matthew 16, he says, in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. He said, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but how is it you cannot discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation are seeking after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah, and he left them and departed. So the sign that he was talking about that was given to the prophet Jonah was also a sign that Jesus, God, was about to do through his son. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And then he was back alive, and he went to preach and to teach like God told him to do in the first place. So God's son, Jesus, was the sign of the end, one of the signs of the end of time in the last days. God, the Hebrew says, God in these last days has spoken to us by his son. So when Jesus was talking about this, he was saying, you know, I'm here now, the Son is here, I'm the Son, I'm here, and I've come because it's time for me to come, and it's time for me to die, and it's time for me to go to the cross and offer my body. And it's just like Jonah, I'm going to be 3 days and three nights after I die on a cross and shed my blood for you. I'm going to be 3 days and three nights in a tomb, but on the third day I'm going to be resurrected. And I've got some things that I got to do after I'm resurrected. So we know that we've been living in the last days ever since Jesus came. Think about that. How much closer are we now? God's also provided in his word certain signs that when we see these particular signs come to pass, we'll all know something is about to happen. I'm kind of getting away from what my scriptures here in my notes, but I'm. How many 6 or 7, 8 months ago, a few months ago, would have ever thought that there was going to be a coronavirus that was all over the world and all over the United States, and thousands of people were going to be down with coronavirus, and hundreds of people or thousands of people would be dying. That we would be locked in our houses. Can't come out. Would you ever believe that? If someone had told you that. Would you ever believe that? Now, we've seen some riots. I saw some riots back in the 60s, but I've never seen any riots like we're having right now, and they're not just here in the United States, but all around the world. There's people rioting, and they're wanting what they want, and they're not thinking about, well, I'm destroying somebody else's business, or somebody else's, I'm destroying their place or their income, or I'm destroying their life work. All they're thinking about is, I'm going to destroy something, and they're destroying everything and running all over the place like a bunch of crazy people, and even the law's having a tough time trying to get it squared away. What do you think about that sign? So I believe that these are modern day signs that God has given us to let us know that, hey, you're living in the very end of time. And now is the time not to be getting caught up in the affairs and get entangled with all of the things of this world, but now is the time, let God take care of those things. He tells us, don't worry about the things of this world. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He tells us as his children, I'm trying to exhort you, encourage you here, that he'll take care of all of us. Cast our cares on him. He cares for us. Amen? Hadn't God been caring and taking good care of you and caring for you? Even when we didn't weren't worthy and didn't care and weren't even looking for him too, he still loves us, and it's just like, I remember one time when I was dedicated, committed to God, took my wife and two babies, and we got away from our parents. My parents and her parents wanted us to hang around here in Corpus Christi area so they could take care of our two babies. Our son and our daughter, the first two born, were just babies, And my family wanted to see them. They wanted to be with them. They wanted to help us. And I was going off to college and go to the ministry and study, and I figured that's what God wanted me to do, and it was. But there was a college right here, a Baptist Christian college right in here at University of Corpus Christi, which is now at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That was a Baptist Christian college, and they wanted me to go over there and go to that college because I could be right here where they could help take care of my children. No, me and my pride, I wanted to get as far away from them as I could. I was going to be like Abraham. Are y'all with me? I was going to go as far away as I could. I didn't want to depend on anybody. I just wanted to depend on God. Are you with me? And after about a year and a half or so in college, and the wheels started falling off and things were not going just right, and my bills were mounting up, and I couldn't get gas from my car hardly, and my wife and I had a miscarriage, and the children, she was alone with the babies all the time. I was going to school 3 days a week, leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning and coming home at 6 o'clock in the evening on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and on T-days, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, I was working at a grocery store, working about 6 o'clock in the morning, working until 7 or 8 in the evening, trying to make ends meet so I could provide for myself and my family and pay my way through college. And whenever it got to the point to where all I could do wasn't enough, I didn't hardly have time to study. I was too busy trying to, and then I was they didn't call me associate pastor, but I was a youth leader and the song leader in a Baptist church in Beckville, Texas. So I'm going to tell you, I was a busy little beaver. And the things that began to happen to me, and it was like God was letting me down. There was, I wasn't being provided for, and other ministers had been there. Some of them hadn't been there as long as I was. Most of the pastors that were going to that college, it wasn't just a college for ministers. That was just ministers were just a few that were there. It was a full accredited college, and we had a lot of people going to that college, hundreds of people, and ministers. If there was 80, you know, of us, that would have been quite a bit. I'm not even sure there was that many, but most of them had been there for a little while. God was providing for them because there was a lot of small churches all over that area, and the ministers were not having to work because the small churches were calling them to be ministers and providing them a space to stay and also giving a little bit of income. You with me? And so that's what I was expecting to happen, and I was called. Can I share this story with you? I want you to know where I was and where I'm coming from. So I was called before church to preach in view of a call. That means you come preach. If they like you, they're going to call you. Well, the first one I went to preach, they didn't call me. The second one, they called me a second time to another little small church in view of a call. And they didn't call me either, and I was working at Brookshire Brothers Grocery Store in Carthage, Texas. And so the deacons came by from another church and told me, said, "Brother Lewis, that church wanted to call you, and they wanted you to be the pastor, but the lady that was kind of running that church, she said she didn't like you and she didn't want you, so they didn't call you." Well, how do you think that made me feel? I thought, here I'm depending on the Lord, and I feel the Lord wanted me there, and the church wanted me there, and one woman could keep me from being where God wanted me to be, then what kind of God am I serving anyway? I need some help here. Are you listening? And so I got upset with God. And I went and quit school, and I got my wife and kids, and I went and rented a U-Haul trailer. And I had to work that Saturday at the store to get my final paycheck. And I told God, if this is the kind of God you are and this is the kind of God I'm serving, and you can't take care of me, then as far as I'm concerned, you just get out of my life. Boy, that's a terrible thing to say. But that's how mad I was. Well, the Saturday that I walked out of Brookshire Brothers grocery store, I'm going to show you how good God is. Three men met me from another church not too far from Carthage. And they said to me, "Brother Lewis, we want you to come and preach at our church tomorrow morning." This is Saturday. "Will you come preach tomorrow morning? And we're going to guarantee you right now, we've already heard you preach at another church. If you'll come and preach at our church, we guarantee you, if you'll come preach in the morning, we'll call you to be our pastor." And I was so mad at God and the world. And I said, "Brothers, I've got a U-Haul trailer at the house. It's packed. My wife and babies are waiting on me. I just got my paycheck, and I'm leaving here, and I'm not coming back to this area anymore, ever." I didn't realize it, but I was standing right there at a time when God had brought me down right to the wire. And I had a choice, and he even told me. But I left anyway. And if you'll pardon the colloquialism, I went through 4 years. Well, I won't use the word, but on this earth, it was like God didn't even exist for me. I lost my peace, I lost my joy, I lost my happiness. It was just like God wasn't there anymore. And I want you to know that is the very worst feeling that you can ever have in your whole life, when you don't feel like that God cares for you, he's with you, and he's going to take care of you. That is a horrible feeling. Of course, I didn't care at that time. You with me? But later on, as I started going through these things in my life, wasn't all bad things. I decided that, you know, I got a really good job with a good company, and I didn't write it first, but eventually I did in Houston, Texas, and I decided it was a sales job, and I decided I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 35. And I was a good salesman, and I was on my way. Well, after about three and a half years of that, and God not being with me, and I need to tell you this, and I still wasn't feeling his presence, so I started, after about the second year, I got to thinking, well, I need to get back right with God. Billy Graham had a crusade at the Astrodome in one of those years, and this is in the 60s, and I thought, well, if I go to that, I'll get under conviction, God will get me and let me back in. And that didn't work. And I went to various Baptist churches and different churches in that area, all in Pasadena and South Houston and Houston. I went all over the place trying to find God again and get him back in my life. And it was just like the doors were closed. In fact, it was like he just said to me, "You asked me to get out of your life." So I did. And I thought, boy, I'm a hopeless case. But I still was selling, and a man came by, had just started a company. And he really liked me, and he said, "Lewis, if you'll come to work for me, I'll let you be my sale manager. We just started this. You can be my sale supervisor and start hiring salesmen and training them for me, and you can start selling these things." So I quit my job and went to work for him and started selling for him, and boy, I was doing really well. And I was going to hire some salesmen and train them, and then he was going to give me a part of the company, and we were going to go nationwide. Well, the wheels fell off all of that. And I was trying to buy a home and a car, and we were living in South Houston, and the wheels, everything started. In fact, he got to where he wasn't paying me. So I didn't have any choice. I had to quit. In the meantime, through this whole time in that house, on Sunday morning, Rachel and Lou, they were about 6 and 7 or 8 at that time, or 7 or 8. They would drag all the dining room chairs out into the garage. They had constructed some kind of a pulpit. I'd be in there reading the Sunday newspaper. Rachel would be leading the singing out in the garage, and Lou would be doing the preaching. And I'd be sitting in there reading the newspaper, listening to all of that. I was under great conviction, let me say. I was losing my house. I was losing my car that I just purchased, brand new car. We were going down the tubes, down to nothing. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And one of the preachers that I'd visited in a church between Kima and Pasadena, I don't know the name of that little town out there, Baptist preacher come by my house on a Sunday afternoon. Kids were all outside playing. I'd only met him that one time. Heard a knock on the door, went to the front door, and here stood this preacher here, and I recognized him. I'd seen him before. Had his Bible under his arm. He said, "Lewis?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "God sent me here." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I come in?" I said, "Well, yeah, come on in." He said, "Well, where's your wife?" So I called Pat and I said, "Pat, preacher's here." So she came in. He said, pointed to her couch over there, and he said, "Y'all sit down over there on that couch right there." I mean, with authority. Well, I sat down, Pat, sat down. He opened up his Bible right there in the middle of the living room, and he preached us a sermon for about 15 minutes. I don't even know what he preached. Don't remember. But then he said, "Now we're going to have an invitation. Get off of that and get on your knees." He said, "We're going to pray." And I got on my knees. With my wife. The only thing that came to my mind was, this is the truth now. This came to my mind. God, is this the time you're going to open the door and let me back in? And boy, it was. And I got up from there, and the Spirit of God was back. And man, you talk about, I knew everything was fine. I was forgiven. Later on, God told me when I told him to get out of my life. He said, "Lewis, I never did pay any attention to that." He said, "That was just like a 2 or 3 year old yelling at their mom and dad because they wouldn't let them do something. I hate you. I don't love you. Get out of my life." He said, "That's the way I saw you." I'm so glad he saw me that way. Because really, that's the way I was. Like a little spoiled brat. A week and a half after that, I lost my house. My dad took my car. I came down here that weekend. I got a job out here at Reynolds Metals Company. Rented a place in Corpus Christi on Johnson Street. And 2 Sundays later, I was called to pastor a church in Corpus Christi, Texas. That's how fast God changed things. And I tell you, I would never go back. I don't even want to look back. I've been there and done that. And all I want right now is to be exactly where God wants me to be, and I am. And I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. And that's why I'm here. So I'm telling you that we need to know what time it is on this earth. I feel like God wanted me to, in fact, I know He wanted me to teach this, or I wouldn't be teaching or preaching it. There's a beginning and end of time here. And we need to just know how much time we have left here. Just as in the fall, all the signs indicate that winter's on the way, Thanksgiving's on the way, Christmas on the way, things are changing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 to the people, He said to the people, Luke chapter 12, verse 54, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, and straightway you say, there's going to come a shower. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, well, it's going to be hot. And I'm paraphrasing this. And so it comes to pass. It is. He said, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? How is it you don't understand what time you're in right now? That's one of the most important times that you need to understand. This is one of the most important times right now in our lives that we need to know. When we see the falling away of believers from the Lord, we see them going away from the Word. We see them going away from the church. We see them going away from His people. The Bible warns us in several places that we will be able to recognize these last days because of that. These are signs that God's given us because He doesn't want to come and catch us unaware. He says in Matthew verse 24, because iniquity shall abound. He's talking about the last days. Because iniquity is going to be abounding, and it is, the love of many will grow cold. They won't love me like they're supposed to anymore. He said that many will depart from their faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, what we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, says that they will not come unless the falling away comes first. Well, we're living in a time when people don't want to. They're falling away from God. They're falling away from His Word. They're falling away from church. They're falling away from the Bible. They're falling away from everything. They just come to church maybe once in a while and don't hardly ever read the Word and don't ever pray for anybody. They're not concerned and they don't. It's like their relationship with God is just completely gone. As a matter of fact, any one of us can be caught up in the fall very easily. I know I have been. Any now, many Christian people are falling away from their love of the Lord and His Word and His people. His church are so busy with other things in their lives and the issues of the world that fellowship with the Lord Jesus is completely out. And the Lord's work and His business are at least of our last way down the list on the things that's important in our lives. When we see these things of these attitudes and these issues in the lives of those around us and a sense that very strong temptations in ourselves to be caught up and be entangled in these worldly affairs, we can be sure that we are in the fall. It's in the last days. And that God wants us to be prepared. Where are you? Where am I? Many of the churches are empty on Sunday mornings. Some are even closed on Sundays and Wednesday evenings. And we used to have Wednesday evening services and Thursday evening services and Sunday night services. And most churches, you know, I drive out every now and then on Sunday. We don't have Sunday evening services anymore. I get out and drive around in my car and look around in Aransas Pass and Corpus and Rockport and Ingleside and different places. There's not hardly any churches that have services on Sunday night or Wednesday night anymore. gone. Where are we? There's just so many worldly things. Myself. I've got caught up in being so busy that it was hard for me to, it's hard for me being a pastor, because like it or not, whether I get caught up in the world trying to make a living, trying to pay my bills like everybody else, I'm just like everybody else, right? But still, I have an obligation. Some Sunday mornings, you don't know how hard it is for me to get here. And a lot of Sunday mornings, I don't even know what I'm going to preach on till I get here. And sometimes I go to prepare something and I get it all ready, and then when I get here, God said, well, I didn't want you to preach that in the first place. You're going to preach this. Are you with me? So I'm not exempt, and no pastor is. We're all, it's all very simple to let the things of this world distract us. And I'm not talking about, you know, all the bad, horrible things. I'm talking about just normal, mundane things, making a living, paying bills, taking care of our wives, taking care of our husbands, taking care of our children, taking care of our jobs. We have to have a job, don't we? Right? And we don't realize that those all can be distractions. We have to learn, and that's one of the reasons why I teach all the time here at this place, it seems like. I'm teaching all the time about how we are in our jobs or in our businesses or in our lives with our work and with our families and our wives and our husbands and our teenagers and all the other things that the enemy and the god of this world can use to distract us from the Lord. We have to learn how to allow the Lord to be with us and to let Him show us and teach us how to handle our wives and our husbands and our teenagers and cast all of our cares on Him, and how to let Him take care of our bills and take care of all of the... let Him be a part. Trust Him, not just trust Him for our soul, but trust Him for our very livelihood and everything that's going on in our lives. He wants to be our friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you know He knows the answers to every situation that's bothering you right now? You know, everybody has some things in their lives right now that's probably that the enemy's trying to use to bother them, to worry them, to frustrate them with. Are you with me? And if we'll cast all of those cares onto the Lord Jesus and let Him be the Lord of our lives, that means, you're the Lord, show me what to do. Help me with this situation. And boy, I'm telling you, He will. He will. And I could go into some, you know, not most dominant males, they don't want to listen to a wife. Well, don't nod your head, guys. Especially if your wife's here. But you know what I'm talking about. When I made Jesus the Lord of my life, He showed me in no uncertain terms, Lewis. And I'm seeing some hard times. I learned that when I said, well, I think I'm going to do this and that, and Pat said, well, hon, I'm really not sure we should do that. And I went ahead and did it anyway. And boy, I crashed and burned, and one time it cost me a bunch of money. I learned that when I said, I'm going to do something, and she said, well, I'm not sure we need to do that. We need to pray about that. Boy, I didn't do nothing. Are you with me? And the same thing with my children. I had teenagers. You talk about preacher's kids, they were PKs that were just out of this world. And I don't mean PKs for me, they were PKs against me. In fact, had a lady call me one time, and I was pastoring a church here in town. She said, "Brother Lewis, do you know what your kids are doing?" They were 16, 15, 16, 17. And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not sure exactly what they're doing." She said, "Well, I want you to know they're running around with the wrong crowd." And I said, "Ma'am, if you know any children that are running around with my kids, tell them to stay away from them. They're not running around with the wrong crowd. They are the wrong crowd." She hung up on me. But I was telling the truth. But thank God, I couldn't change their lives. But God can. Amen? God can do anything. And if we'll just trust Him, He will. Amen? So I'd like to encourage you. While we're living in the last days, and we are, and we don't know any moment. You know, Jesus said when He comes to take His church out, He's going to come, it's going to be like lightning flashing from one side of heaven to the other. And He tells us a story about ten virgins, five wise and five foolish. They all slumbered and slept. But when the announcement came, the bridegroom's coming, they all got up and trimmed the lights, lamps. The five that were not foolish had brought some oil with them, so they poured the oil in their lamps and trimmed their lamps and got ready. The five foolish went off, didn't have any oil, wasn't prepared, had to go try to get some oil and get things ready. The bridegroom came and they were left behind. And Jesus told that parable as a sign and a warning to us that we need to be ready, because if He comes and we're not ready, then it's going to be that we might just be possibly left behind. And we're all going to stand one day and give an account to Him, saved or lost. Christians are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to receive the things the Bible says that we've done, whether they're good or bad. The lost are going to stand before the judgment seat of God, the last judgment. And they're going to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." This is one of the most serious decisions that people face in our days and times, and they're so busy lost in this world that they don't even care. God have mercy. We need to pray for our family members and loved ones. Amen? Let's stand. I'm going to shut up. And I'm telling you this to encourage you, not to fill you with guilt or fear. I'm telling you this to encourage you. Be encouraged. Now, I think we're looking for the coming of Jesus here pretty any time. I believe He could come any time. So, Father, we come to thank You for this lesson, this message today. We thank You for every precious one that's here. We thank You, Father, for all of those whose names are on our prayer list. Some of them are ready, some of them are not. You know where they are and what's going on. We lift them before Your throne of grace. Father, we'd ask You to be with them all in a special way. Lord, we just claim them for You in Jesus' name. Let not one of them perish in the name of Jesus. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, grant repentance in Jesus' name. Help us as Your children to be to take account of where we are and what's going on, and draw close to You so You can draw close to us. Draw near to God, You said, Father, draw near to You and You draw near to us. And so help us draw near to You and be ready and stay ready, so because we want to go with You whenever You come and get us out of this worldly place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for your time and your patience.